On this episode, we smoke the Fuente y Padron collaboration, the legends, the one, the only legends, one of each, because that's all we can afford. I'm your host, Johnny Midas, and you're listening to Burnline Podcast. Burnline Podcast. The burn line on a well-crafted cigar is straight and sharp as a razor, much like our wit and wisdom. And what is up, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages over the age of 21, you are listening to Burnline Podcast, coming to you, as always, not live from the Hot Box, the smoky back room where deals are struck and fortunes are made, adjacent to the Rocky Patel Cigar Lounge, nestled amongst the complex of rooms that comprise Davidoff Cigars, Westminster, Maryland, USA. The only Rocky Patel Cigar Lounge in the state of Maryland. I'm Johnny Midas.
And I'm El Fuman.
And we are smoking the legends.
The legends.
The legends.
You got to say it, the. You can't go the. This is the.
The legends. The University of Miami.
Yes.
All right, linebacker. So, legends, let me break open my Fat Boy Cigar stick box. This is the Padron, and gorgeous, looks like a Padron. Not as dark as like dark Padrons.
But it actually looks like a Padron. Like if you switch the band out, I would say, oh, this is a Padron.
Mm-hmm. And I will be smoking the Fuente.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we want to start smoking them, and they're going to take a while to smoke.
Yeah.
Not small cigars. These are both Churchills. That's a box press.
Honestly, this, when I see Padron and Arturo Fuente, I don't think like the small ones, like the Hemingway or the Principe. I always think
a Churchill. Interesting. Yeah. So we want to get these going. Yep. However, it wouldn't be fair to our audience not to preface a little bit. This is the long-awaited collaboration between Fuente and Padron.
Just so you guys can see real quick.
Dude, I'm going to zoom in. I got like close-up video. Right. I can't see that shit anyway. That's why I'm in charge of the technical and he's in charge of everything else. All the hard work.
All the hard work.
But
research and development.
Yeah, so a few things about this cigar. It's a collab. Mm-hmm. It only comes in a box with some of each, right? Mm-hmm. All of the money goes to their charities, and that's important when we talk about price.
Yes.
That will factor in, because a lot of our listeners are probably watching this just to see what we think, because they can't afford the cigar.
No.
The box is $7,115. Now, that's beautiful. You can collect that box.
Mm-hmm.
Not very useful for a humidor. It doesn't actually have that much space in it, but it's beautiful, collectible. That's fucking expensive. I know retailers that can't get it. Even if they could get a box, they can't afford to get it.
Johnny Midas took out a second mortgage.
Yeah. So that comes out to like $180 MSRP.
Mm-hmm.
Forget about it. I have not seen any of them, especially singles, for sale for MSRP. Yeah, doesn't happen.
Forget it.
Forget about it. Right now, of course, they ship 750 boxes. Mm-hmm. That's not a lot.
No.
You probably can't find them online for sale. If you can, you will pay $300 per stick.
Yeah.
So we're here literally burning $600
yep.
on a random afternoon, which is kind of cool.
It is pretty cool.
So we are doing this for you guys. We're investing in you because I haven't met too many folks that are cigar guys and like, fuck it, I don't care about that. They do. You might be like, fuck it, I ain't ever affording one. But you do care about it. And so we're going to review it, both of these cigars concurrently. You got the Padron, I've got the Fuente. We won't be able to compare notes.
No.
Well, we could swap cigars halfway through.
We can.
Yeah, we could do that. We're not doing that. Don't go away. This is a hard to get cigar, and it's a fucking expensive cigar. Yeah. And so
we have the connections.
Yeah.
Like legit, we have the connections. So
we're doing it for you guys. Now, I also brought to go along with this, I'm a Lagavulin fan, mm-hmm. and I have the latest Nick Offerman release, which is the 11-year-aged Caribbean rum cask finish.
Nice. Let's
Kind of seems to
go.
go cigarish. Now, of course, this is an Islay, my favorite type of scotch. It's less fruity and botanical than a Highland scotch.
Okay.
A lot of people are scared to pair these with cigars because there's a lot of iodine,
Okay.
iodine flavor, and less peat than like the Lowlands, but definitely that space
I'm
on it.
okay with not a super peaty flavored.
So it's closer to Laphroaig than it is to Macallan,
Okay.
but it's not all the way over here. Laphroaig is like, this is fucking 1873 medicine, without the benefit of the cocaine.
Right.
So
Bastards. Bring it back.
that is what we are smoking. And the rest of the show, we're going to be talking about Fuente and Padron, the
Oh my.
godfathers of Nicaraguan cigar industry. And really, if the Cuban Revolution hadn't happened, they would be the godfathers of cigars.
So, real quick, I guess we're going to admit here today, this is the one good thing communism brought.
Oh yeah, Nicaraguan fucking
Right.
cigars. Yeah. Thanks, Lenin. All right, so oh wait, that was the wrong. Was it
No,
Stalin, not Lenin?
it was Lenin
Was it
because of
Lenin?
Leninism,
No, Lenin was the Beatles.
What? Oh,
Yeah.
no. But it was Lenin regardless. He started it and Stalin was his understudy and
Oh,
then.
Stalin was the Beatles?
What? What
No,
are you trying to get at?
Lenin was the singer on the Beatles. And Stalin was the communist. Well, I
Yeah.
mean, the Beatles were kind of
Oh, are you
communist
talking
too.
about John Lennon?
Yeah, John Lennon.
Oh, I thought. I'm over here talking about communism. I thought that's what you meant.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whatever, Stalin or Lenin, we're going to smoke these cigars. So they do both come in cello.
Yep.
By the way, the cello does not have any sticker on it. These have stickers because the retailer put a sticker on, but that does not come with the product. But the cello is a welcomed addition to people who want carefully controlled quality.
Yeah.
However, I am fucking against it.
It's kind of lame that they did that.
Well, on a cigar this expensive, and none of the Padrones normally have such a
Right.
cigar this expensive, I want it fucking naked. Quick note about the appearance. Both of these look like world-class crafted cigars.
Oh,
Every
yeah.
inch of them is fucking gorgeous. However, I can't tell too much on my Fuente because, like a lot of Fuentes, it has the cedar sleeve, has the white ribbon at the bottom, and my non-stop complaint about Fuente. I have two complaints.
Fuente's
Now,
like,
I
we don't
spend
like
more
this
money
guy.
on Fuente than any other brand, so I'm allowed to criticize it. They use this shiny Scotch tape on the ribbon, and I think it's trashy. I don't like it. The second is I have never fucking taken a band off of a Fuente without damaging the wrapper. And then
Okay.
why don't you tell me a little bit about how yours looks?
Mine's is actually pretty gorgeous, man. Just the like a classic Padron, very modeled, and you can see the veins on the tobacco. I kind of like that. I love that rustic look. I've only mentioned that 100 times on here. I love that rustic look, and that's the one cool thing about Padrones. Like, here's a Padron to compare. I mean,
Yes,
it's darker, but look
yes.
at how modeled.
Famous for this grew in the fucking ground.
Right.
Yeah.
You know you're getting
Can
some.
I inspect your
Absolutely.
legend a little bit?
Legend.
All right. So this is a what does Padron call this? It's not Maduro.
I would say they're natural,
Do
maybe.
they call this natural? They might call it Claro.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
But
I know for
it's lighter than most of your traditional padrones.
it is. It's the same color as the Fuente. Now, the Fuente is darker than most Fuentes because most Fuentes are like the natural sun-grown wrapper. Their sun-grown is a little lighter, usually, typically. And then, of course, they have a Maduro, which is much lighter than Padrón's Maduro. I am now taking off the sleeve gone, and I hate the cedar sleeve. I'm not a fan. I'm also not in fucking marketing, so maybe they got
I'm
it
not in
right.
marketing.
But
You do have an MBA, so you might know a
I
thing or
might know a
two.
thing or two. I want to see the damn wrapper. That's my thing.
Yeah, man.
And
Yours definitely looks like a Fuente.
it does. It looks like a Fuente. It looks like a Fuente sun grown, really. I will tell you the natural Fuentes is my default cigar. I just like that light floral aromatic boutique. So I'm really looking forward to this. Now, as far as the bands, they both have a double band, and it is the same on top. And it's got
Yep.
the 13 clock from Fuente, right?
Yep.
And then the hammer from Padrón.
That's right.
So it's sort of half of,
Half and half.
half of the Fuente and half of the Padrón. Super cool.
Yeah.
And then underneath, mine says Carlos Fuente Jr. honoring José O. Padrón. And then yours second band says,
Jorge Padrón honoring Carlos A. Fuente.
so
They might not.
Jorge is honoring Carlos Jr.'s father, and Carlos Jr. is honoring Jorge's father. Right. So that's what, and those are the legends, those two. And they really are. And we're going to talk about that. But before we do, we're going to fucking cut and light this cigar. So
Dude,
I'm
it's
going
an
to,
impressive ass fucking wrapper.
this is beautiful. But when we talk about like value and stuff like this, I will say, like, yeah, but I get so many beautiful Fuentes. You know, I mean, same with the drug.
Not gonna lie, it's a shame that we're about to smoke these.
You kind of need to, for that price point, it better look good. All
Yeah,
right. I am using my open-ended double guillotine Craftsman's Bench, a J.C. Newman product available at Davidoff Cigars for $29.99, where
nice.
I got mine. And you have got your Zycott
Zycar
X1.
X1, Davidus.
Super, Davidoff branded.
The official cutting is brought to you by Fat Boy Cigars. The bold and delicious flavors of premium hand-selected tobacco leaves are highlighted in the original Jack's cigar by Fat Boy Cigars. And don't forget to try the Fat Boy Cigars Boots on the Ground series. For every cigar purchase in this series, Fat Boy Cigars will donate $1 to charities benefiting our frontline heroes. Fat Boy Cigars, welcome to the Fat Boy's world.
As always, we remind you to clip those cigars with authority, no limp-wristed cutting allowed. And that is a gorgeous clean cut. I don't know why there's a little lump in the middle where it cut, and I don't really want to trim it up.
I fudged up a little.
Well, there was like one stem in here that blocked one of the blades. But the wrapper and binder cut perfectly. We are now doing the hand job. If you're an audio-only customer, boy, are you missing out right now. You got to watch this on video. I mean, the hand job is actually, we are just tapping the head of the cigar we just cut on the back of our hand to get rid of the little bits of tobacco that get stuck on the tip of your tongue and your teeth. Also, someone pointed out the other day, I showed them this, and they're like, holy shit, where'd you hear about that? And I was like, from Nick. And they were like, what bothers me is, depend, you know, he smoked strong cigars, like he was smoking the Cro-Magnon. He's like, sometimes those little flakes of tobacco, like they actually affect your taste. It's like little flecks of pepper on your tongue. And I was like, I hadn't thought about that. All right, and it is time for the official lighting.
The official lighting is brought to you by 2C Premium Coffee. Keep your day fueled with delicious coffee from 2C Premium Coffee, featuring select beans from Bali, Kenya, Ethiopia, and around the world. 2C Premium utilizes continual roasting, so you are always getting a truly fresh cup of premium coffee. 2C Premium Coffee, morning made us.
And I am lighting with my ST DuPont gold-plated fuck you lighter.
From Costco,
And you've got
a Vertigo quad torch here.
Vertigo Quad Torch, classic go-to. Yeah, you're not winning any style points with that, but it's still one of my all-time favorite lighters. It's so fucking reliable. I have one where the plastic is like cracked from sitting out in the sun for months on end on my porch, and it's still fucking trucking. And as always, we remind you, toasted, not roasted. Treat that cigar with the love and respect it deserves. It will return the flavor.
Literally.
Yeah, somebody was like, you need to pronounce the L a little bit stronger. Nobody gets the joke.
The what?
On a podcast, because I'm always like, treat that cigar with the love and respect it deserves and it will return the flavor. And they're like, we can't tell. It just sounds like you're saying favor.
What's it?
And I'm like, shut up. You want to fucking edit it for free?
That's the point, Captain.
Anyway, lots more dad jokes coming.
Yeah.
All right, so we have got these legends lit. And I will tell you right off the bat, this is a fucking amazing cigar.
Not gonna
No,
lie.
I'm just kidding, because nobody can say that. If they tell you that, they're probably lying to you. So we're going to take a couple of puffs and Give you thoughts on flavor. It is gorgeous, though. Oh, by the way, the box, amazing. Obviously, I don't have
No.
$7,000 to splurge, even if I could find a box for sale.
Yeah, that box is gorgeous looking. It almost reminds me of that Placencia Ometepe box because it's kind of split the same way, but bigger, obviously.
That's interesting. All right, so I will say initially, immediately recognizable for me as a Fuente. It does have the cedar, which usually starts out strong. I think that might be from that cedar wood wrapped around it. I'm not sure. It also has that cinnamon and nutmeg flavor that a lot of Fuentes have.
Not gonna lie, I was about to have the exact same thought. This is a Padrón. Not like any of other Padrón I've smoked, but a Padrón. Very woodsy at the beginning. Not like woodsy, but like wood.
Yeah, woody.
Woody.
Yeah, this one is woody as well, but it's primarily cedar. I'm not sure if that will change. Definitely some hardwood in there as well. There is a very like sweet barnyard, which is very familiar if you smoke Fuentes. It's like you're walking through a barn while sniffing a honey and peanut butter sandwich. Like it's in your back pocket, wafting up, but so is the barn stuff. There is honey in this one, which is odd because not odd, but kind of rare. I know in the Hemingway specifically, there's a little hint of honey at one point in the smoke. Zero bitter, zero vegetal. Now, the natural wrapper on Fuentes always has a little bit because, I mean, it's a natural. It's like one shade darker than a Connecticut, you know. So, gosh, this is kind of awesome. I feel like, I don't know, I feel like a big man. Like, I have never smoked a fucking $300 cigar, and I probably never will again.
No, not for a
Thankfully, I
while.
can write it off as a tax
So I
write-off.
guess this gets the award for the most expensive cigar on the pod so far. What, that Byron at number two?
I think the Byron was number two.
Maybe the Opus X, but that was a whole book.
It was, but so there were four cigars in there, and that whole kit was $279.
Oh wow, that's yeah.
So
No.
that was less than this cigar for
So
all of the
definitely
whole
the
kit.
Byron.
I think some of the we smoked the Opus X Eye of the Shark, me and Nick did. And those were pretty up there.
60 to 80, right?
No, like 95.
95.
That
Then it's
Vitola is pretty kind, like it's popular and hard to find.
probably more expensive than the Byron.
I think it was. The Byron was like 85.
85, 90. I don't
Yeah.
remember. We didn't air it yet.
Did we not air that episode?
No, we
Isn't
haven't.
that the one because we didn't like it?
Well, some other stuff happened. I think there was some editorial
Yeah, there
issues.
was some stuff, but
But
we didn't like it. And we had a whole conversation about should we air this? But
yeah,
right now, we
we're
are smoking
talking.
the Legends collaboration between Fuente and Padron. By the way, these are not available at Davitus in Westminster. Davitus got two boxes, I think,
Gone
gone immediately.
immediately.
Not too many companies got two boxes. It was only
And I
750 boxes.
believe we were told one stick of each per customer. Not no, the normal two rule, but one
You
stick
could
of
have one Padron and one
one Fuente,
Fuente,
and that's
and that's
that.
it.
Not one, you know, not two
Not,
of each.
yeah, not two Padrons or two Fuente. Nope, has to be one of each.
And but still gone.
I mean, like,
Gone.
day of gone.
Somebody sent their
Spoken
grandmother.
of, but no, I mean, spoken for before they
Oh
were on a
yeah,
shelf.
they were any they
Like,
were sold before they even came to the store itself.
yeah. And you probably can't get one, which is why we're smoking it for you. I checked online. There's a couple of reviews out there, video reviews. We're not the first to the punch, but we're one of the first. I would say,
And for a small operation too.
and for a small operation,
That's right.
yeah. A couple of the other ones were like, these are big orgs, but
And we're not shitting on them. We're just like, it's
no, we're
kind of
not.
prideful.
One of which is the controlling stake is Fuente, so they better fucking review it. But no, we're just happy that we could offer this value to you guys, the listeners. Okay, so we're a quarter of an inch in, and Fuentes always have an initial note that changes immediately. So, but why don't you start? You haven't talked about your taste at all.
So just a like a not atypical Padrón, but typical in the robustness in the single note at the beginning.
Greg. So we've got Greg in the smoky back room back here. So we are smoking the Legends, the collaboration. I've got the
Okay,
Fuente.
not familiar with it.
He's got the Padron. So they finally came out, and these come in the same box.
Yeah.
Half Fuente, half Padron. They finally came out with it
That's the
after.
combination.
Yes. All of the proceeds go to charity, which does not justify the price tag in my mind, but you can feel a little bit better about it. It's not just going to
Yeah.
greedy capitalism, which I support. But I thought you'd be interested because these are fucking unicorns. So
It's just
$300. That was the.
it better cure cancer.
Yeah, it better cure cancer. Well, but it's a tax write-off for me because it's a podcast business. So that's something, you know. But.
Yeah, I guess it goes to charity, so you can justify it that way.
Well, we just wanted to create extra value for our listeners because nobody's going to be able to smoke this. They only made 750 boxes.
And a couple of those boxes were damaged.
Yeah.
Not ever released.
So,
It's your not that I'm never going to smoke it, so it's academic, but it's your impression.
initially, this is a very good Fuente, but Fuente makes a lot of very good Fuentes that cost a lot less. So, we'll more about that when we get to ranking the cigar part of the episode.
And
But.
what do you got there, Scotch?
Yeah, this is Lagavulin. This is the newest Nick Offerman edition. This is their 11-year aged in Caribbean rum casks. So,
I mean, I know that works for bourbon. I wonder how well it works for scotch. Well, you're drinking it, so.
I don't think it changes it. Like, it changes it, but it's not like, oh, that was definitely a rum flavor. No, it just changes it.
Does it
You know.
sweeten any? I mean, that's what it does to
It's
bourbon, like
sweeter,
Breckenridge.
yeah. This is definitely sweeter than the regular Lagavulin 11-year. What was the last Nick Offerman was aged in like current wine casks or something like that, and it was the same thing. Like it was a little different. It was a little sweeter.
How much is that a bottle?
It's not much. I think the MSRP is like 85. I think
That's pretty
so.
scotchy, I
It's
think.
pretty reasonable. So we are smoking the Fuente y Padrón Collaboration.
Collaboration.
Whatever. Don't act like you can pronounce Spanish better than me.
We have the budget for it now,
Yeah,
okay?
I got to hire a Mexican. So we
Canceled.
can cancel. Uh-oh.
Canceled.
Yeah, my Mexican kids speak really good Spanish. So
Listen, you'll find that guy that can't at all.
I know you're not lying. You're not lying. And you are good at it. But what I want to know is how long they fought. Like, this was going to be released 10 years ago, but they kept fighting over whose name came first. That's why it was like, Padrón y Fuente. Fuente y Padrón. And
You remember the spy versus spy thing? It's kind of
yes,
like.
yeah, like that. Yeah.
But anyways, real quick before I dive into my flavor, both of these are proprietary, no info whatsoever,
No info
top secret.
at all.
They killed the people that rolled these and picked the
Yes.
tobacco. They're
Yes.
no longer on
And
this planet.
actually, like one finger knuckle is in each box. Like, if
Yeah.
you get the box,
They're
it
like
has a human finger knuckle
telling
in the
you.
corner.
Yeah. And they were dropped off by armored car.
Yes. Wow, we took that way too far.
Yeah,
But it is proprietary. I will
so
tell you immediately that this is an Ecuadorian Cameroon wrapper. I know what it tastes like. Fuente uses them a lot. They also have the best in the world. I was curious if they were going to use a Dominican wrapper like on the Opus X.
well, they definitely use one of their naturals. I can taste it.
Yes, that's a
That's
Fuente
the only thing
natural.
I can pick up.
And then this is I'm not sure what they did with the aging here. This does not taste like a sun grown, but it is darker than their typical natural.
Yeah, this is darker than the natural.
Yeah, this reminds me a little of the Hemingway. But yes, this is Ecuadorian Cameroon. wrapper. I don't know about the rest of the blend.
I'm not trying to offend them or anything, but this almost reminds me of the 64.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know they're definitely trying to do something different, but it's like, I'm sorry, I'm going to compare and contrast to what you already have in your portfolio.
Yeah, especially if you don't tell me what it is.
Yeah. This so it's is, like, that's my best educated guess.
This is lighter and more mellow than the Hemingway. It really reminds me of the Chateau Fuente, just a step below the sun grown and a step above the natural.
Hmm. Okay.
Definitely has a strong wood component. It's mostly cedar at this point. How about you? I'm guessing a little bit of mocha and chocolate.
Sorry, that smoke. Anyways. Yeah, a little bit of woody flavor. Yeah, I'm getting that mocha. A little bit of cocoa powder. Just a hint.
Mm-hmm.
But like in Spanish, they call it agrio, so bitter.
Yeah.
Unsweetened powder.
Yeah. And then I know a lot of Padrones have that, almost like you took a handful of dark, loamy earth and peppered it. Does it have that? Yeah, little salt bay, pepper bay.
Yeah, just a hint. Just a hint.
Yeah. Awesome. So I think one of the things that is kind of cool that sticks out already
mm-hmm.
is I can tell I'm smoking a Fuente.
Yeah.
And you can tell you're smoking a Padrón.
Yeah.
That's cool because they have signature cigars. Like
yeah.
Fuente has, I think Fuente has a little more flavors than Padrón does, but they do all have similar, like you can tell it's a Fuente. And then with Padrón, I don't want to overspeak.
Yeah.
Padrón has a very limited flavor palette in their cigars.
Yeah. But I mean, that's what makes it work though. Like that's
exactly that's... like when we smoked the 1926 Principe,
mm-hmm.
it was like, the whole point of buying a Padrón is it tastes like this.
Yeah, because, I mean, it happens to some manufacturers and other things. It's like, all right, so now you have an 80-plus portfolio, but it's like, all right, now 20 of those taste the same.
Mm-hmm. Or, I don't like it.
Right.
Whereas, if you don't like a Padrón, you won't buy it. But if you do, you'll keep buying it.
Mm-hmm.
And same with Fuente, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, well, why don't we try some of this Lagavulin 11-year-aged, finished in Caribbean rum casks. Nick Offerman edition.
Do you think if we just sit here for an hour on the podcast like Nick Offerman does, people keep watching?
Just silently.
Smoking and sipping. They'll kill us.
Half of the audience is like, well, Johnny Mine is just shut up.
Wow, dude.
Yeah.
That is crazy. Okay. I can see what you said about the iodine.
Mm. I think one of the reasons I enjoy this type of scotch is it pairs so well with Fuente's natural flavors.
Mm-hmm.
There's some cigars I can't imagine, like a Perdomo Habano Sun Grown with this scotch would suck.
Wow. That is an explosion of flavor. What'd you get?
Well, the scotch itself has got an interesting combination of like your typical scotch with a little overtaste
mm-hmm.
of brown sugar and like orange peel.
Yeah.
When I mix it with the cigar, it has a really interesting flavor because the kind of the flavor profile of the cigar, it does mute a little bit. It like takes away the pepper in the cigar a little bit, but it accentuates like the sweet.
Yeah.
So now it almost tastes like a stick of wood dipped in honey.
This is what I'm getting at the moment. With that. The combination, because it's fruity. I got a chocolate orange out of it. You know, like the chocolate oranges you get for Christmas?
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool. Exactly what I got. I got a burst of citrus and then that chocolate on the top to just layer it off.
That is super cool. All right, socials and surprises. Amanuel Alif says, I can fix your channel SEO. Cool.
Okay.
Look, he took a screenshot and put notes and everything. Mm-hmm. I might reach out to him. That's a good marketing email. Yeah, it's like a screenshot from YouTube. Let's see. Kata 520, thanks for subscribing. Explorers, Seekers of the Truth, thanks for subscribing. Nice. By the way, that's an interesting channel. It's like Bigfoot and shit.
Yes, I'm down, dude. We're PA. We're all about Bigfoot.
Hell yeah. Creole Cat Daddy has subscribed. Hell yeah, Creole Cat Daddy, welcome to the tribe. Lizette Spencer has subscribed on YouTube. So for all of you new subscribers, welcome. You are our marketing plan. Yeah. It is a little challenging to promote something that's based around smoking. We all love this hobby. So please like, subscribe, share, pass the word along. We think we add value to the cigar community. We hope so. If we don't, drop us a line.
So, Creole Cat Daddy, bonjour. We're multilingual here.
Laissez le bon temps rouler. Burnlinepodcast@gmail.com. Drop us a line. Who was Bobby Mason? Got the Team El Fumo mug.
That's right.
I've got two more of those. You want one?
Sure.
I mean, it says Team El Fumo. It doesn't say the El Fumo.
I can have two mugs.
The text.
Double fisting.
The text is nicer.
Yeah. The text is more my flavor.
Yeah, I know. What else is going on online? Posting some stuff.
Yes.
Pretty decent interaction, but that's all we ask from you guys. Like, if you enjoy the podcast at all, just interact. YouTube, Instagram, Facebook. Twitter. Yeah.
We have 100+ views. We just need some interaction because people, and I'm not making it up because Facebook gives me the metrics. They're viewing it. I just, you know, yeah, need some interaction.
We would appreciate it. Love those 5-star reviews.
Yep.
We will keep it coming. But mostly we want to hear from you. And we've gotten some good emails at burnlinepodcast@gmail.com. Let us know what you want to see on the show. Segment ideas, segments you don't like.
Right.
I can't get a more handsome newsman. You're stuck with El Fumo.
Whoa. I read a couple that Johnny Midas talks too much.
Yeah, yeah. Just wait till I get the whiskey in.
Yeah.
All right, so, I mean, shit, you're a couple in, inch and a half in.
Inch and a half, yeah.
I need to smoke mine down a little more. Why don't we go to break, and when we come back, we will have our tobacconist tip of the week.
Oh.
And then start talking about Fuente and Padron.
Yep.
Don't go away.
And now your tobacconist tip of the week with Angel Solorio.
We are back on Burnline Podcast, Uncommon Cigar Knowledge for the Common Cigar Smoker. Here is your newscaster host, Guy El Fumo.
Yeah, that was an intro.
This is the part where the two Muppets that sit up in the cheap seats, yeah, like start making fun of.
That was wonderful.
Bravo.
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good, though.
It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
I was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.
Boo.
Anyways, tip of the week. So, when you're smoking, what naturally happens? You ash. Because that's what happens when you burn stuff. It creates ash. So, important, when you're outdoors, try to use a deep dish ashtray, bowl, whatever, just something that's deep dish, you know, especially like if you're on the sidewalk outside the lounge, be mindful of the surrounding, you know, you don't want to be making a mess, especially outside the lounge, man, because you are, whether you work here or not, you are automatically a representative of that lounge. So think of yourself as a cigar ambassador.
Yeah, to the rest of the community.
Yeah. So.
Because you got air currents.
Yeah, air currents. So. Part two, we've already mentioned this 100 times. Don't be a slob if you're going to be sitting in front of the lounge and smoking. Be polite. So, and part of being polite is keeping your smoking area clean. So use those deep dishes. And yeah, keep in mind airflow. If it's going to be windy, maybe not smoke outside. But if it's not too windy, deep dish. Make sure all those ashes land in there. And if like you're like me, you like to let your ash go a little long. And if it falls, police your ash.
Yeah, like hold it over the, if you're ashing long, just hold it over your tray like this. Yeah, and also I've noticed a lot of lounges have spots with a lot of airflow, might be right under a fan or by a floor fan.
Yeah.
A lot of cigar lounges are super cool because they're like an old historic building.
Yeah.
You know, they're magical, which also means the HVAC system sucks. And so they have fans. That's another example where don't use that shallow ashtray. You know, all the lounges I've been to have like, the one shallow flat ashtray that looks beautiful, but if there's even a speck of wind, like ash is blowing everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, if you're in that, you know, windy spot,
yeah,
just get a deeper dish. And inside, something like this Rocky Patel, which is probably 3 inches deep, is fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Outside, I'd say get a stinky.
Yeah, you're not smoking a cigarette where you got little ashes and you got massive sticks for the most part. So you're gonna have a little bit of a mess. So just try to be polite, you know, not just to yourself, your lounge, but the community as well.
Good, excellent tip of the week. And we are smoking the Fuente y Padron Calabreson. And I'm smoking the Fuente. You're smoking the Padron.
Padron.
So far, they are great cigars.
Yeah.
We will talk later if they're several hundred dollars great. But great cigars so far. And so let's tell everybody, first of all, this is a shout out to the legends, the fathers of these two guys.
I don't think it's ego either to be called the legends.
No.
Like, that is a good, like, a lot of companies use legends for legendary.
Yeah, this is like if Michael Jordan's son and Kobe Bryant's son got together and did, like, a legends shoe release, one honoring Michael and one honoring Kobe. Or who did I say?
LeBron.
LeBron, yeah. Kobe's a better choice because
I'm a Kobe together. Guy. I'm a Lakers fan.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Kobe was a fucking hell of a player.
Dude, I'm from L.A.
Like, he doesn't get the credit. Oh, yeah, I forgot. I forgot my token West Coast liberal on the show.
Jeez. Oh, we're canceled again.
So tell us about Fuente and Padron, the families, the story, all of the rich history that's behind this cigar.
All right. So in the 60s, Padron, we're going to start with Padron because I'm smoking the Padron. So no favoritism or anything. So Padron in the 60s left Cuba, you know, because a situation kind of went down there. Not so happy one. So he ended up in Miami and was stuck in one of those, like, immigrant tent cities. That's literally what they were, under the overpass. So they were living in a tent city. You know, Padron was here. He was like, damn, how do I make money? He was trying to, he couldn't find a job. And this is where the hammer comes from. The hammer was actually a gift from another fellow Cuban who was able to get him a job. He's like, hey, are you good with carpentry? Yeah. All right, since you don't have anything, here's the hammer. Hammer comes from that. So Padron does a lot of work, saves up $600, and with that, he starts his cigar company. I'm not exactly sure. They didn't really say exactly how he started, but that's how he got into the industry. So he worked his ass off.
Which a new car was $1,500 back then. $600 is probably, like, since the median new car price is $46,000, that's about equivalent to $25,000.
Yeah, so, I mean, shit. Yeah, $600 took you a long way. I want to say what? The going rate was $1 an hour? For work, maybe?
I think it was, yeah.
So you guys can correct me wrong. But so, yeah, $600 went a long way. So 1962, 1964 is when he delves into the cigar industry and starts doing it. Right there in Miami. Where else? Miami, where all the Cuban immigrants, most of the Cuban immigrants landed. And so he was able to do that. I mean, that's where most of our American cigar industry is at. Not the growing part, but the cigar industry is in Florida. So that's what happened. And then obviously later on, he passed this business down to his son. So that's right.
Couple of notes about Padron. First of all, Jose Padron, the patriarch of this is in honor of, was born in 1926. And that's where the 1926 line name comes from.
Yep.
Now his grandfather was Damaso Padron. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Damaso cigar is named after, which most people say Damaso.
Yeah, that's kind of how
it's pronounced. Damaso.
I've always, even in Spanish, I pronounce it Damaso.
Yeah, well, it's fine, but he puts the accent mark on.
That's fine. Yeah,
that's the technical pronunciation. And he founded Piloto Cigars in 1964. That's where the 1964 line comes from. So it kind of all ties together. And you told about the hammer.
The hammer.
You know, that's where the hammer logo comes from for Padron.
Originally, when I heard about Padron many, many years ago, everybody's like, oh, he came from Cuba with just a hammer. Well, that was wrong.
Right.
Everybody, that's what everybody says, even to this day. Oh, he came with Cuba with a hammer. No, that's not how that went down.
Now, I didn't find out when they renamed it Padron.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah.
Initially, it was Piloto. And that's because, you know, Piloto Seed is from Cuba, and he had Cuban seeds to start his business. So he originally started producing cigars in Miami. He had one roller, 200 cigars a day, very similar to traditional Cuban cigars. And his initial cigar was made entirely of Connecticut broadleaf. And of course, that wasn't a happy time for Jose, because Connecticut broadleaf, it takes really long to age. It's a thick, it's kind of like Pennsylvania broadleaf. You know, it's a big, thick wrapper. So anyway, he visited the Jalapa Valley and started using Nicaraguan tobacco in 67. At that point, he just couldn't meet demand of his customers. They were really good cigars. And so they moved to Esteli in 1970. So from between 64 and 76 years, he went from, I started the company with this $600 to moving to Esteli. And then, you know, unfortunately, this was the right in the middle of the Sandinista revolution. Or maybe not in the middle of it, but it was starting already. And that went on for quite some time. His factory was burned down as part of that. So they started rebuilding, but they also built a factory in Honduras across the border as like a safety net. So eventually the Sandinistas won, and Jose Padron basically went to the government to sort of get like assurances that he could continue doing business there. He was familiar with the revolution in Cuba, and he was like, look, let's just hash this out now. Either I stay or I go, but let's figure it out. They said he could stay. There would be no interference. And they kept their promise. Mm-hmm. You know, for whatever you think about the Sandinistas, they didn't just take everything, you know, like what happened in Cuba. So there was a little interesting thing in there where he actually was involved in a negotiation to release over 3,000 prisoners, political prisoners from Cuba, almost 4,000, which oddly resulted in him being photographed with Fidel Castro, and he became a pariah. Like, the Cuban immigrant population in Miami saw him as a traitor. I don't think it was fair, but it actually happened. And his Miami facilities were bombed three times between 1779, which was the anniversary of the Castro Revolution, July 26th, and 1983. And so they built new stuff again. So he's rebuilding all of these, right? And then, of course, the U.S. placed an embargo on Nicaragua in 85 because we were concerned that they were joining the South American, you know, basically communist revolution thing. I think it was it was shortly before the embargo took effect that Padron moved to production to Honduras, as well as much, you know, he moved as much stuff to Tampa and Honduras as possible so he could keep doing business. And then the Sandinistas lost the election in 1990, and that's when the embargo was lifted. So
lost
the elections. Yes. Yeah. Reagan might've had something, but anyway, I mean, Bush Sr. was in office, but Reagan laid the groundwork there.
So Reagan dropping walls and bringing up cigars,
something like that. Well, really from 1990 on, they just grew and grew. Now I didn't know this, but, Jose, he actually only passed away in 2017. Mm-hmm. So that was fairly recently.
Dude, that was a long ass life.
Now, about the cigars, Padron makes its own cigars, which, you know, like Crowned Heads doesn't, you know. Mm-hmm. And they have four series. You know, there's a lot of different Vitolas and stuff in those series. But you have the Padron. You have the 1964 Anniversary, the 1926 Series, and the Padron Family Reserve. All of them are box pressed except the Padron. So you might see the Jose Padron Tubo. You know, I like the what is it, the natural that's in the white tube.
Okay.
Really good. And the Maduro's in the red tube.
Yeah.
Everything else is box pressed, and their smaller cigars are definitely the most popular and most sold.
These little guys.
Yeah. They come even smaller than that, I believe.
Yep. Like the Principes.
Yeah. And it kind of makes sense because they're strong. Now, that's the 85th, which is pretty expensive. I think that retails for $26.
Yeah, $25.99.
Yeah, here at Davidus in Westminster. And I know a lot of people that like this is their go-to default cigar. So if you like the flavor profile, there it is. Now, there's also the Padron Damaso or Damaso line. Nobody really likes that as a Padron.
No.
Okay, as a Connecticut, it's good.
Yeah, and it's not a shit talk. That was right off the bat.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the flavor profile actually got changed at one point because it was that bad. So here's a quick story. I won't name drop any places, but Jorge Padron called some places and was like, hey, what do you think of this? Because it's not doing well. This is legit. This cigar is not doing well. What do you guys suggest? What do you guys think? And he wanted honest opinions because, well, apparently it compared to another cigar. And he was like, well, can't have that. Send it back. And then 4 months later, sends back a new blend. And everybody's like, oh, shit, this is good. So it was similar. It was too similar to another cigar. So that's why it wasn't selling well. But now it's selling a little better. Still not as good as the core lines.
Well, I think part of the problem there is, you know, basically shops put it next to the Padrones, and people that are used to Padrones pick it up and they're like, this is not a Padron.
Right.
Which I think is fair because I've smoked it. But on its own merits, I really like it. If I'm going for a Connecticut, that's the one.
Yeah.
It's a lot stronger than a normal Connecticut. The wrapper is very well aged, and a well aged Connecticut loses a lot of that bitter. But I think that's the problem. It's really just marketing. It's where it's placed on the shelf, where it just doesn't sort of match. Tom Cannon in the smoky back room where deals are struck and fortunes are made. How are we doing, Tom?
Life is good. Always glad when you guys are here, bringing the fun factor.
Appreciate that.
Are you enjoying these excellent rare cigars?
We are. Yeah. It's definitely not worth the price, but it's a great cigar. So, and, you know, the proceeds go to charity. So, you know, you feel better about it with that. But they're fucking scalping these on the secondary market.
What are they going for?
If you can find one for $300, you did pretty good.
Ooh.
That's
what I was saying. Despite the stupid price, they were probably a good investment.
Yeah.
Well, good. I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Thanks, Tom. So that's the Padron family history, and really like the turmoil and the effort and the hard work. The hammer is a great symbol. You know, he was such a hard worker, and man, he never lost faith, never took his eye off the ball. He was that old school, you know. Now people kind of look at me as old school. I'm not as old as I look, but
aren't you like 55?
Yeah. And I have some of that. I call it grit. You know, I have some of that, but man, that older generation, holy fuck. Like, those are the guys that would, like, they could fucking climb Mount Everest, lose a foot without oxygen or a Sherpa, reach the top, build a fucking tower, then go back down and, like, and make scrambled eggs and salsa for breakfast. You know, like, that's just what they did. So it's really, like, to me, it's an uplifting story of, like, this was a guy that was like, fuck you, I'm winning.
Yeah,
I don't care what it is. I'm figuring it out. Failure is not an option. No plan B. And because of that, we have a really great cigar company. And we'll talk more later after we talk about Fuente about kind of what these families have done for Nicaragua, which is a lot. So why don't you jump into Fuente?
All right. So Arturo Fuente, named after the patriarch of the company, so Arturo Fuente. He was born in 1887, so that's quite a long time ago. So I didn't know that was crazy to find that out. So
born in Guinness, Cuba.
Yep. Left Cuba in 1902, so which is kind of interesting. So that was way before Batista and all the other issues. I guess he just said, all right, you know, like any other immigrant, probably said, let's go find a new opportunity somewhere else. So and then later on, 1912, he founded the Arturo Fuente Company in West Tampa. So so everything revolves around Florida when it comes to the cigar industry.
By the way, at that time, there were 200 companies making cigars in Tampa.
Yeah.
It was the cigar capital of America and probably the whole West.
Yeah. Yep. He was one of those
What? And he did use Cuban tobacco.
Yes, because everybody was importing Cuban tobacco at the time. Obviously, no embargo till what, 50 years later at that point. So they were all importing. And he was just like in a two-floor wooden shack, man. Mm-hmm. Rolling cigars, him and somebody else. And then, unfortunately, I think in 1924, they had a fire that just decimated their whole operation.
They did. And for some context, at the time, they had employed 500 people. Mm-hmm. This was a big company all the way already by 1924.
Yeah, by those standards. Like, it's insane how quick he got off the ground.
Yeah, like, that was what Ford was employing.
Yeah.
You know.
At one plant. Mm-hmm. So, and unfortunately, after that, they didn't roll cigars for 22 years because it was just, oh, man, we got to rebuild. They lost everything.
Well, they had the Great Depression. Mm-hmm. And then they had World War II.
Yep.
And just couldn't get anything done. And it was, what, 1946? Mm-hmm. So the war was, yep, what, just ended?
Yeah, a few years earlier, but yeah, it was still kind of trickling through.
Yeah.
And then by 1958, he gave it to his son, Carlos Fuente. Mm-hmm. So senior, and because Carlito Fuente is currently at the helm. Mm-hmm. That's junior. So second generation has the company in the hands. And then in 1960, the U.S. finally embargoes Cuba, which is kind of lame because then that's everybody's like, oh, fuck.
Well, and that, yeah, and that's when Fuente was like, I can't import Cuban tobacco anymore, mm-hmm, right? But instead of giving up,
yep,
he hammered on.
That's the other company.
He Fuente'd on. He 13-clocked on.
Yeah.
He hammered on. Whatever.
Well, anyways, so instead of panicking and just calling it quits, they're like, all right, let's go somewhere else. Hey, I heard of this place called Nicaragua. I heard they have some good tobacco and some other people are growing shit there, so let's go over there. So that's what they did. They went to Nicaragua.
Esteli again.
Yeah, Esteli. Go figure.
1970s.
So everybody went. So he moved the operation over there and started growing tobacco. And clearly, you know, the Arturo Fuentes started happening. The one thing I couldn't find was when they started their Dominican operation.
Oh, well, I will fill in. So much like Padron, the Fuente factory was burned to the ground by the Sandinistas. Mm-hmm. These were not nice people. There's a reason we embargoed them. But while Padron moved across the border and back to the U.S. and then, you know, basically sought concessions from the government and stayed, Fuente just moved to Dominican Republic, and that was 1980, the year that Johnny Midas was born. So it was a good year. That was the
Here we go.
That was the start of like modern Fuente. Mm-hmm. And by the way, that was also, I think it was the earlier mid 80s they introduced the Hemingway, which is still going. It's one of my favorite cigars. A lot of people love them.
Yeah,
it's a great medium-bodied stick. Yeah. And then it was actually the 90s when Carlito introduced the Opus X, which was a full-bodied Dominican Puro. No one had grown, mm-hmm, a Dominican wrapper. And to this day, I can't name a cigar that has a Dominican wrapper other than the Opus X, mm-hmm, because they spent a long fucking time, you know, basically cultivating the soil and,
yeah,
developing a seed that would produce a great wrapper leaf in, yeah, that climate.
Here's the quote of that. The most difficult and risky component of a cigar to produce. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they're in Santiago, Dominican Republic. So, and obviously there's a lot of companies there now, but like that is where the Opus X farm is at.
Now the special wrapper is grown only on Chateau Fuente, which is the family's farm. And it landed in Cigar Aficionado's top 25 list 8 times in 10 years. So fantastic cigar. And like the Hemingway, it is now like just a staple. You know, everyone looks forward to it. It's a great cigar. So a couple of things, right? The first thing that I'd like to, point out is the incredible grit and determination that both these families had that, you know, they were going to win. They were going to make this work. This is my life's passion. And so they stuck through it. You know, can you imagine going through a civil war? You got a bunch of brainwashed teenagers running around with AK-47s burning your life's work to the ground. And they didn't say, fuck you, I'm going to fight back. But they also didn't say, well, I guess that's it, I'm going to go bag groceries in Miami. Right. They said no worse cigar makers.
Yeah, they kind of just weathered the storm.
Yep. And I think that is just great example, for kids nowadays, Like, you think you have a bad, you can fucking make it.
Yeah, you can.
By the way, did you notice my Glencairn glass has Cub Island Spirits on it?
No.
Unfortunately, I missed the last Top Shelf Sip and Smoke. Mm-hmm. I had to cover the factory at night.
Yeah.
But that was a Placencia event.
Yes, it was.
So I missed a good one.
Yeah.
Band test. First band came off with no issues.
Nice.
Holy shit. Fuente must not have put the band on this one.
Oh, my. Whoops.
And it looks like you got a little, your band is coming off around where you clipped it.
Yeah, it was my fault.
Okay, you're going to take ownership for that?
Yeah, that was me.
What about that split?
With that? Sure
that's you? Yeah, that's you.
Yeah, that was all me. That was all me.
All right.
Yep. Nope, that was not.
So no points off during the construction.
That was all my fault.
So your first band came off as well?
Yep, and it's cool. Their signatures are repeated inside the band.
Oh, so normally that just has Padron's signature?
Mm-hmm.
And it's got, Padron Cigars, the under wrapper, always has the signature on. This one has Fuente and Padron signature.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. Cool. Little Easter egg there.
Yeah. Let's see what the inside of my second band looks like. And same thing. He's got the...
signatures just repeated.
Yep. Very cool. I don't know. I kind of feel like saving this.
I would.
Band.
Yeah.
Putting it on something.
Maybe we should lacquer finish.
Yeah, this is my monument to wasting an astronomical amount of money on an afternoon smoke.
Well, I wouldn't say wasting.
Yeah, you're right. That was too harsh. The second thing I'd point out, we didn't talk about this in the story, the incredible value that these families brought to Nicaragua. To this day, Nicaraguan's economy, it would not be where it is, and the quality of life some of these folks have wouldn't be there. They started schools, they started hospitals, they paid for roads, infrastructure, really brought it up. And then, of course, Fuente moved to the Dominican Republic and did the same thing there. So in Nicaragua, these days, Padron and Placencia are really holding down the fort.
Yeah.
Dominican Republic, it started something. I mean, you got Davidoff there, you got everybody. There's a lot of Dominican cigar manufacturers, and the same thing. They poured AJ's the money. AJ's there. They put the money into the community. And, big shout out, because they weren't thinking, just for themselves. They were thinking big picture. And this is what successful entrepreneurship looks like. And it's really, this is the American spirit.
Yeah.
Of building community success by having an excellent product that people want to buy.
Yeah. If you want to feel karma-free when buying a product in the U.S., this is one of the most karma-free products you can buy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yes. This is accruing good karma just by purchasing it and smoking it, for sure. For sure. Now, these are long-burning cigars. You're halfway through?
Yeah, a little over half.
I'm just in my second third.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a little bit of a slow smoker compared to some Fuentes. So some things that have changed, a little bit of vegetal has crept in and a little bit of spice, which there wasn't any to begin with. So that's kind of cool. I'm not sure how much the interplay with the whiskey is doing on the spiciness. Sometimes whiskey does that.
Yeah. I'm getting some earth and spicy on mine.
So again, it tastes like a Padron.
Yeah, it tastes like a Padron. Yeah. I'm wondering though how much of their already existing tobacco they use. And I wonder if they swap fillers.
I don't know.
Because that's the only reason I would say, oh, they're keeping it secret, because they swap fillers.
I don't think so. I think the reason they kept it secret is that they're not using any special or new ingredients, and they just don't want people to know that this very expensive special cigar is basically the same cigars that you can get on the shelf. Because mine just tastes like a Fuente.
Yeah, mine tastes just like a Padron.
Yeah. So I think that's what it's probably an existing blend, is my take on it. Maybe just a slight tweak here and there.
Yeah, I would imagine.
I mean, whoever blended it, they did a superb job. This is a great cigar, and it tastes like a Fuente.
Because, I mean, they did grow some tobacco leaf specifically for this. I mean, that is something they did say. So that's what I'm saying. I don't think everything is something they already had on inventory.
Maybe. Some of the cigar marketing is a little, it's dramatic. They tell a story, but what really happened was, hey, we planted this crop. We're done making our core line. What am I going to do with it?
Right.
So, well, now it's special. That's where the whole special edition limited run thing came. So,
yeah.
like Fuente's Unnamed Reserve. It's exactly what it was. And they weren't shy to tell you.
Yeah.
We got extra leaf. We're making a limited run. Yep. Get them while you can, you know.
Still good.
It's very good. All right. So that's a little bit about Fuente and Padrón. Feel free to, do some research on your own if you'd like. If you like Fuentes or Padrones, these are great examples of Fuente and Padrón cigars. We're going to go ahead and take a break, come back. We will do our cigar news of the week. And then we're going to talk a little bit about our favorite Fuentes and favorite Padrones to give us a little more time smoking these. And then we'll go ahead and do the ranking. So this show is going to be a little bit longer than some of the other ones, maybe. But, we got to give it a fair review.
Mm-hmm.
So don't go away. You are listening to the dulcet tones of Johnny Midas and El Fumo on the 39 Podcast.
Now your cigar news of the week with Angel Solorio.
And we are back on Burn Line Podcast, the most awesome cigar podcast in the history of history. I'm your host, Johnny Midas, and this is your newscaster, Angel El Fumo Solorio, with our cigar news of the week. What you got for us, man?
All right, so some pretty good news. We are on track with 2023 with cigar sales, cigar imports, however you want to call it.
Cigar imports. Okay, well, but that's not great because... So, 2023 was matching 2022, blah, 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 which was all catching up from COVID.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if that's good. I wouldn't mind seeing them dip a little bit.
Yeah. So we're about within 350,000 sticks of what we were last year. So that's not terrible.
Mouse's whisker.
Yeah. So, I mean, cigars are still rolling in. Some cigar makers are having the shortages in some tobaccos, but we're still chugging along pretty good. Nicaragua still holds 60% of the cigar import, so Nicaragua is the place.
That's the place right now.
It is the place. So, as we just said earlier. So, Lamport Oro Kingpin is debuting at Intertobac 2024.
So, Intertobac, isn't that a European, like, Cuban heavy?
Yeah. So this is in Germany where they
Dortmund.
I don't have a German accent. Dortmund.
Something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Deutschland.
Oh wait. Yeah, yeah. Dortmund.
Dortmund.
Dortmund. Germany.
Was? So you can't speak the German?
Nein, sprechen Sie Deutsch.
Yeah. I can't even interpret that.
Exactly.
So the Lamport Oro Kingpin new cigar, is that going to be available in the U.S. or?
No, I think it's going to be a specific to the Europe at the moment. We should see it over here at some point, but it's $18 a stick. It's a fat cigar. It's 4x62. I don't know what that Vitola. It's kind of like a Perfecto.
It's like a made up Vitola.
Yeah, but I like it. It looks cool as shit.
Similar to the Flying Pig.
Yeah. Flying Pig. I like that. El Gringo is the 5x50.
El Gringo.
That's a funny name.
El Gringo. Is this a Cuban cigar?
Yeah, they're using Cuban tobacco.
I thought so, because Lampert makes Cuban cigar.
So that's why I was like,
Yeah, so not available to us. All you guys out there, eat your heart out. Another cigar Americans can't have.
Boo.
Regardless of who wins the election, would you please end this stupidity with Cuba? Jesus H. Christ.
For real. This is so...
On a pogo stick. All right. What else you got?
And then Davidoff is, celebrating the 10th anniversary of the Nicaragua. Davidoff Nicaragua. Have you had?
How are they celebrating that?
They just said it's 10 years, so it's just their next iteration.
Oh, so they're releasing They're releasing the Davidoff Nicaragua, but now it's the 10th anniversary.
Okay. So they're got a 3¾ by 46 short Corona, 6x60 Gordo.
I don't know. That sounds strong. And then, the Davidoff Nicaragua is kind of strong.
Yeah.
Davidoff.
I mean, it was first only offered at a 6x54 Toro, but now they got little guys. So that's part of the new introduction to this line is the smaller. I mean, fat, but
short. Corona sounds cool, man.
Yeah. I mean, $36 a stick.
That doesn't sound so cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's a limited Davidoff.
So I could smoke like 9 of those?
Yeah. So
instead of this one.
So wrapper is Ecuadorian. Binder is Nicaraguan Jalapa. Filler Nicaraguan Condega, Esteli, and Jalapa.
So interesting.
That is an interesting... 3,300 boxes, 12 sticks each, so around 450, 500 bucks a box. So that's a Johnny Midas price tag there.
All right, what else we got?
All right, so I mentioned this earlier. The Toscano Brenta is going to be the first air-cured tobacco that they offer. So that's interesting.
What does that mean? What does air-cured mean?
Like because they fire-cure their other stuff.
Oh,
remember we had this conversation.
I got you. Yeah. So this is their first air-cure.
Like traditional...
Okay.
Cigar.
I was like, all of them are air cured. And then you're like, no, yeah, you're right.
This is air cured. Yeah. I can't. That was a shitty Italian accent.
It's an air cured.
That's fair. Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
Add a little bit more pop.
It's an air cured.
So, dude, $9 a stick.
Yeah, Toscano's a pretty good value. Now, I know for me and a lot of smokers, Toscano is a nice break from the traditional.
Yeah.
But it does remind me of like the Kentucky Fire Cure. It's not as severe. I almost said bad, but that's the wrong word to use. It's not as severe of a taste, but it definitely has that smoky
flavor. Yeah. So look at that short guy, though. I mean, they're normally short anyways.
Yeah.
They look like the old school tobaccos or cigars. Yeah. Like Roaring 20s is what I think.
Yeah.
Reminds me. This is a weird one. 4⅛ by 56.
I've never heard it like this is far from the end. It tapers down.
Right. Yeah. It's like fat. That's a weird though. 4 and 8. That's very, very specific.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cuban cigars in Spanish jars. So Cuban cigars in Spanish jars. So these are going to be only in Spain. Unfortunately.
Playa de Monterrey.
Yeah.
So they're releasing cigars in a ceramic jar.
Yeah. Spanish ceramic jar.
In Spain.
In Spain.
That's kind of collectible. I might look that up online.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like something Johnny Midas might pick up.
So there's only 2,000 jars being produced. So $28 a stick, 25 euros. What is that, Monopoly money or something? Euros?
Yes, yes. Something. And this is the Epicure number 2, mm-hmm. which is not a new blend.
Yeah.
It's just how they're releasing it.
So it's $530 a jar.
Roughly.
And it's about, rates. Yeah, it's 4 sticks.
4 sticks?
Yeah.
For $550? That must be a fucking...
It's the you're paying for the jar. You're not paying for the stick.
Made out of goddamn platinum. Yeah.
Like, that's crap. Okay. It's like, okay, I want the cigar, not the damn jar.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can get the Joya de Monterrey Epicure number 2. You can get that anywhere.
Yeah.
So you're paying for the jar.
Mm-hmm. And then last but not least, they got one. This is the little Johnny Midas swaggish looking.
Ooh.
So you're going to have to... Even though I can speak a little French, this is...
Le Fin's La Messe.
Yeah, Le Fin's La Messe releases LE Tag
T100. LE Tag T100.
Mm-hmm.
Wearable cigar cutter.
But look at that. Gold.
It's got gold ingot skulls on it.
Yep.
Okay, that's Le Fin lame. Sorry, dudes.
Yeah.
That's a strikeout. I mean, first of all, I don't do the whole cigars and skulls thing. Like some people do that, but I'm like... that doesn't go. I like the gold though.
Yeah, hey, it's got a Johnny Midas price tag, $258. But there's different styles.
It's on a chain.
Yeah, they have different styles. They have like Art Deco there, Cuban flag.
See, like I might do one of those. This skull's not my thing.
Fan your flames, eh.
Yes, these are a little teenager looking to me.
That one's cool though.
Yeah, some of them.
Cuban background.
Yeah,
a little Chevy in the back.
Chevy.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
So those are pretty cool. I just thought it was...
I might look it up. I mean, that's not too bad for a cutter.
No, and then they have silver editions for like $40 less.
At least that's real gold and real silver.
Real gold, real silver. So, I mean, it's technically an investment.
Yeah, I mean, something like that.
It's not Costco gold, so.
Yeah, it's not. It's not a Costco gold bar.
So, and then last but not least, I already said that once, but Oscar Valdez, you don't really hear from him often.
Yeah.
I like the Leaf by Oscar. How about you?
Yeah.
Maybe.
So Oscar Valdez is usually a, is so he's got a new cigar.
Yeah. The Santiago Valdez total.
Okay.
6x52 at $25.
Mm.
Coffin box, 10 cigars a box, 2,000 boxes.
So all I'm going to say, and I don't want this to come out wrong, but to Oscar and all the other cigar manufacturers out there, would you please stop making 20-plus cigars? You know, like, please come out with a good $12 stick like Rocky did with the gold label. You know, like, we smoke cigars a lot, and I'm not buying a $25 cigar all the time. So, Core line, make them affordable.
It's still the trend here lately is like the constant limited releases. Like, I don't know why that became.
I guess that's the thing.
Is it to mask the COVID situation? They're just calling it limited.
I don't have enough tobacco for a Core line.
I think that's what's happening. Honestly, that's my prediction. Not trying to shit on anybody, but
we are smoking the Fuente y Padron Legends series. Very expensive. Limited.
Yeah.
And, you know, we decided to smoke these because a lot of you guys out there watching, you're not going to have a chance to smoke these. So we'll smoke them for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, our tasting is along the lines of that's a great Padron and this is a great Fuente.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it reminds me of a lot of Fuente cigars. And we talked about some tasting notes. And there's nothing surprising. You've got tasting notes reminiscent of a Padron, and I have one for Fuente, but let's talk a little bit about Fuente and Padron. So I'll go first. Some cigars we like from these guys. So for the Padron, I think the 1926 Principe is the perfect size because it's too strong. I get to the end of that cigar, I'm like, that's enough.
Yeah.
So I like that cigar and that Vitola. I think that's a great one. The 85th is amazing.
So this guy right here,
yeah,
pretty much.
Yep. I also like the Jose Padron Tubo. I like the natural. I like the Maduro as well. They're both good. I kind of prefer the natural on that one, okay, which is a little different.
So you'd enjoy this stick.
Yeah. And then the 3000 series, that is a great affordable stick.
Yeah.
And the Padron series that everyone can smoke, and it still gives you that Padron.
Yeah, 3, 4, 7.
Yeah. And then for Fuente, I mean, the Hemingway is great. My default, like, this is a daily smoke for me, is the Gran Reserva Natural Robusto. I really like Robusto cigars, partly because it allows me to smoke it. I hate putting out a cigar midway through. I mentioned the Hemingway. That's a great one. And then, of course, Opus X. And then we had an Opus X-ish cigar on the show, which was the one that they made for the Las Vegas.
Casa Fuente, right?
Yeah, the Casa Fuente, which was made for the Las Vegas shop. And then they made them available to select retailers, mm-hmm, including Davidus and Westminster. Of course, they're gone now.
Yeah, that's in a casino, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was great.
And it was.
Holy it was shit. Like, it was way more affordable than an Opus X, but it smoked like one. So I hate to bring that up because it's not a Core line. It's not available anymore.
No.
But that was a great cigar. So how about you?
So I'm going to start with Fuente because I smoke most of them and know most of them. The Cañones, obviously, is one of my favorites. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Chateau Fuente, second, and then the Hemingway, third. Those are all my favorite. I'm not much of a Connecticut natural guy, but, like, Arturo Fuentes are pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like them. They're not too mild.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what I like about Fuente is they are very approachable. They have that light floral, aromatic, Cuban-esque flavor profile.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cinnamon sugar. But they're still, like, on the nicotine content stuff, their strength is still there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's satisfying.
Absolutely.
For Padron, I like the fact that they're super consistent. They're dark and heavy. I don't smoke them that often. Speaking of which, you didn't talk about Padron. So what do you like there?
Probably just the Principe. I'm not a huge Padron
fan. Which line?
1964. Okay. Just the Principe. Quick smoke, you know. quick and to the point.
So you're not really a Padron guy?
No, I'm not saying they're bad. It's just not for me.
Yeah, yeah. No, everybody's got their own palate.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me as well. Like, I smoke them from time to time. It's just not my favorite flavor profile. But I know some guys that they would
die. That's their daily, yeah.
That's their daily. And if you like that, you know, it's interesting because they're strong cigars, but yeah. They're not harsh. Like, they really age that Maduro properly, and it's sweet the way real Maduro is supposed to be. So it's got this great, it's almost like a Guinness. You know how Guinness is bitter and sweet at the same time?
Yeah.
It's kind of like that in a cigar.
So. Yeah, and it's a robust one note the whole way, most of them.
Yes, yes. They are definitely, it's sort of like, you know, if you get a Ferrari, you want a Ferrari.
Yeah.
That's why people made fun of the Puro Sangue, where, you know, it's like, that's a fucking Mazda CX-30. It costs $200,000, you know. You're not an SUV company. You're a car company.
Yeah.
Similar to the Damaso with Padron, where people are like, this is not a Padron. Great cigar in its own right, but people don't recognize it necessarily because they're looking for a specific experience.
Yeah.
So there you go. Fuente and Padron, and we are smoking the Legends. Now, this, we're going to do a cigar ranking. It's kind of weird because we're smoking different cigars.
Yeah.
And so take it for what it's worth. But we're going to start with presentation, and I will tell you, honestly, this didn't blow me away with the presentation quite as much as the Plasencia.
Is that fair, though? Because we didn't have the box.
Well, yeah. I mean, I looked up online pictures, so I'd get a picture. It's great and it's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not, you know, like that still set the standard.
Yeah, that is true. But I do like the mural inside the lid.
Everything about it. I gave it a 10.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 10. Yeah.
If you remember, we gave the Plasencia an 11.
Yeah, we did.
Like, we made that up.
We did.
For the show. But I'll give this a 10.
Just because of the history.
I can't think of a way to improve it. Like the presentation, if you're asking for more than this, you're just out to lunch. This is a great, great presentation on a cigar. And of course, the physical sticks that we looked at, fucking amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the wrapper's gorgeous, everything about it, the bands are gorgeous. All right, so construction, and again, I usually start with a 10 and go backwards. Cut well, lit well, good draw all the way through, no issues, no wrapper issues. The only thing is, like a lot of Fuentes, actually, the draw can be a little sketchy at times, particularly like after the first third.
Okay.
There's nothing here where I can take away points without being stupid.
Yeah.
So I've just got a 10 for construction.
Same. Like I said, the issues I have here at the cap at the head, that was my fault.
You did that. So I trust you. I believe you there. All right. So that brings us to price and value. Now, the MSRP is $179, and I will tell you right now, there is not a cigar on the planet that's worth that. They did have to recoup their costs and then donate money to charity, and I'm not sure it could have been much cheaper, especially when you look at the box and stuff.
They could have just said it was a charity series.
Well, it might have served them better. I don't know. I just want to make that clear, because it's not a lot of the places that you look, you know, unless you read the fine print.
Right.
So if you do purchase these, you know, money's going to a good cause. I mean, we mentioned how much these guys work in the community. Right? These charities are real and have a real impact on real
people. Yes, Plasencia was doing the same thing, building schools, communities, housing.
Yep. Now, these cigars actually cost us $300 each, and that, I'm assuming, the what's over the MSRP goes to the seller.
Yeah.
Which is kind of, you know, like, I'm a capitalist, but a little not cool. Unless the seller is like, all right, we'll take our 10% or whatever and donate the rest to charity as well. Not a huge fan of the scalping.
Kind of like Chevy.
Yeah.
What the dealerships did to the CA.
Yes. Yeah. So anyway, for price, I have one. I have one. I can't justify the price. Even at MSRP, there is not a cigar in the world that is worth that.
I agree. I
appreciate they're giving it to charity and all of that. But the bottom line is, I have smoked better Fuentes. I've not smoked more expensive Fuentes.
I agree with the one. I'm not trying to copy one for one on the ratings, but I agree. It's just crazy price tag. definitely not going to be a daily smoke, if, even if more were available, or, you know, like, I'm going to go, oh, I should go get another one.
Mm-hmm.
If you're buying more than one, you're definitely reselling it or holding on to it.
Yeah. Yeah. So that brings us to flavor. So, you know, I mentioned in my notes a very typical Fuente cinnamon, sugar, a lot of cedar, some vegetal. It's almost like fresh bark on a cedar tree. It's not like morning glories or that type of vegetal.
Okay.
You know, they're just really Fuente-esque flavors. I've had better Fuentes.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Casa Fuente tasted better.
Yeah.
I've got a solid 8 on my flavor. It's a great flavor. But it comes in at about an 8.
Okay. I was going to give mine a 6.
Okay.
Because I was expecting a little bit more, but it's a typical Padron. I'm not giving it a 6 because it's shit. It's just I was expecting different.
Okay. Yeah, it's probably, just from looking at it, it's probably not as sort of strong as like the 1926 wine, for example.
Or 64, yeah.
And you kind of expect that a little bit from a Padron?
Yeah, I was expecting a lot of strength.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about experience. Obviously, this is a you'll smoke it once in your life type of cigar, which means it's highly limited.
Yeah.
And I would say you need to smoke this alone or with a good buddy, you know, not like in a lounge with a bunch of goofballs.
Don't smoke it in the lounge.
Fantasy football or something while you're trying to enjoy a $300 cigar. And then there's a little thing going along with it. Like, there was some stress in getting these, which I got in the mail because that's the only way I could find them available. You know, there was stress packaging them up to bring them here and, you know, oh, I got to make sure, you know, all this stuff is right. And I got proper humidification in my hearth, but it's also not going to drip water on them, and, you know, and all of that because of the cost.
Yeah. Not these sticks in particular, but these sticks were already damaged once.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
In shipping. Not these sticks in particular.
Not the ones we're smoking, but they did have shipping damage.
Yeah. Which is part of the delay. The initial delay was they were already damaged to begin with.
Now, smoking it was interesting because I didn't get that. Like, when I smoked the Casa Fuente, I got this feeling like I'm a fucking big man. And it's nice. This one, not so much, surprisingly. I have a 5 for experience. Like, it's a decent cigar. It's definitely not the experience I would expect or demand from a cigar at this price tag.
Yeah, I was going to give it a 7 only because we have the right setting for it.
Okay.
But I was expecting a $300 price tag smoke.
Yeah, so we'll split that like we split the other one.
Okay.
We'll just average it out. So that brings the total score to 34.
Okay.
So not awesome. You know, mid-30s is, you know, we've had $10 sticks that scored in the mid-30s. You know, I think my takeaway is I'm happy to donate money to their charities. It's going to a great place. And since I have the means, you know, we're going to go ahead and smoke these on the show, let you guys know what we thought. But my ultimate takeaway was that's not the best Padron. This isn't the best Fuente, but they have the price tag, the best cigar price tag.
Yep.
And so, you know, like my takeaway is, I don't want to say not worth it, but kind of not worth it.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what we do on the show is we smoke cigar and we tell you what we honestly think about it. I do think it went really well with the whiskey.
Yeah, it actually did. Like I said, it was like an orange chocolate.
Mm-hmm. Chocolate mine wasn't because I don't have chocolatey in my cigar.
Yeah, but chocolate orange, whatever.
Mm-hmm. I got like a brown sugar flavor, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, still holding on to the earthiness, kind of bitter chocolate there at the end.
Yeah. So that brings us to treasure or trebuchet. And we've got our treasure box, we got our trebuchet, and El Fumo.
Trebuchet. How often do you get to trebuchet $300 stick?
All right, trebuchet it is.
Oh, you got it.
And you're fine.
Okay. Hold on. Wait all for right. it. Look at that. Oh, God. Hold on. Before.
Yeah, get that shit in there. Lick it. Lick it up.
Lick it up.
Okay, we're going to trebuchet this fucking $300. 3, 2, 1.
Whoa, there you go.
Nice. I was aiming for the camera.
Oh, that was close.
That was pretty good.
That'll look cool in the video.
All right. So for me, I am Oh, I want a trebuchet that's so bad. I'm treasure.
Okay.
I'm going to try, but only because I want to smoke the rest of it.
All right.
So imagine me putting this in our treasure box. Here we go. There. Okay. It's in the treasure box. Now it's out of the treasure box so I can enjoy this on my ride home. Thanks for joining us as we review the Fuente y Padron Legends collaboration. Shout out to two true legends in the cigar industry that set the standard and started this whole thing that we enjoy in America. A big thank you to the Padron and Fuente families, you know, for what they've done for the industry in this hobby. That is it for this week. We hope you'll join us again next week.
Oh, yeah.
On Burnline Podcast.